both the stories today, whether it be Zacchaeus or the woman at the well, I want you to see some different people. And we're also going to look at Nicodemus just for a second as a highlight, because there's so many different characters out there and so many different people that Jesus reached out to and so many different people that are available to have a relationship with him and wants to strengthen that relationship. It's a personal relationship that you can grow and get stronger and stronger and stronger in your faith and your walk with God. Let's go ahead and look here in Luke chapter 19. I enjoy the story of Zacchaeus. I enjoy telling that Bible story that we've done a few times over the years about Zacchaeus. But we're going to look at the passage a little bit different this morning. Let's look here at Zacchaeus meets Jesus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And this last verse is probably the most familiar one in the passage. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we enter into your presence once again, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about strengthening and deepening our relationship with you. We think about these encounters, these times and these moments, these one-on-one times and opportunities. And God, I am so thankful for how you speak to my heart at times. Lord, I pray that it would give me a greater desire to know you better, a greater desire to hear from you. Lord, I know there's been times in my Christian life that I haven't heard from you because of the fact that I've just turned a deaf ear. And Lord, if there's people here this morning under the sound of my voice that are in this building that maybe are away from you, Lord, as we see these stories and remind that you love individuals, you love people, and you desire that they be right, and you desire that they would grow closer to you. And Lord, how you care about this young, we don't know if he's young or not, but this shorter individual that was probably hated by many people, you cared about him. You loved him. And even though you knew you were going to take criticism for eating with him, it didn't matter to you. And God, how we would want to strengthen our relationships and begin conversations the same way that you began with Zacchaeus, the same way you began with Nicodemus, the same way you began with the woman at the well, the same way that you talk to others about their need. God, would you help us to understand that you love individuals, and as we strengthen our relationship with you, that you'll give us the desire, or that Holy Ghost desire, to tell others, not out of obligation or a duty, but Lord, that it would be a love that we want other people to know about you, because you love us and you love them too. Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple things I want you to think about is, first of all, if you're going to take an outline or take notes, I would say the first point would be a curious seeker. When we see here in verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Now, the chief among the publicans means he was one of the highest ranking tax collectors for the Roman government. There was 3 different levels. Zacchaeus would have been the highest one. Now, the publicans were supposed to collect the taxes for Rome, but Rome allowed them to keep anything that they collected above the required tax. So the Jewish people, the Israelites, looked at the publicans and says, they're sellouts, they are traitors, they are thieves. We want nothing to be done with them. But we see this man, Zacchaeus, he's curious about Jesus Christ. Not only do you see him as that high-ranking publican, but it also says at the end of verse number 2, and he was rich. Not only was he high up there, he was rich. He was a man of influence in his own circles, I'm sure. He became very rich by the leverage he had as a tax collector. But also I want you to see here in verse number 3 when it says, and he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press because he was little stature. Thing I want you to see here, the word sought means he's meaning to seek something. He's thinking about it. He's meditating. He's reasoning. He's inquiring into. He wants to seek after something. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you think about it. If he's a publican, tax collector is probably hated by many. Why does he want to see Jesus? What is the point of it? And as we know, probably most of us understand, he probably heard about the great miracles. He probably heard about the teachings. He probably heard about all those different things that Jesus had done. And he was impressed by them. He was surprised by them. And he wanted to learn more about it. He wanted to seek and understand more. So he came looking for Jesus. He said, what's the big deal about that? Somebody had to tell Zacchaeus. Somebody had to tell Zacchaeus. He says, well, Pastor, that was back in the day when Jesus was healing people. And that's back in the day when Jesus was doing these miraculous things. Jesus still does miraculous things today. We serve an amazing God that can do all things, that are saving people that are lost. He is seeing God work. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us his opportunity through prayer to talk to him. And we must learn to somehow, some way to encourage him and somehow tell other people so they're interested in Jesus Christ. They want to come. They want to learn. They want to see. I'm sure he didn't hear about people bad-mouthing Jesus. That wouldn't have made Zacchaeus want to come. He was rich. He was in authority. Once again, he'd known of being around the crowd. It wouldn't have mattered. And even when the crowd was there, and even when times came to where he couldn't see him conveniently, what does he do? He pursues after that. He pursues after that. How about in your life? Is there anything in the testimony that you are giving personally to other people that would cause them to want to pursue after Jesus? Not only just pursue after Jesus, maybe even seeing from your own life. Is there things that you're doing that are causing people to be thirsty and say, hey, I want what that person has? Because that's what Zacchaeus did. Somehow, some way, Zacchaeus had found out about Jesus. Now, not just Zacchaeus. You see here in verse number 3, and could not for the press. It was a topic. It was a popular topic. It was something that was made much of. He said, Pastor, why isn't there much made about Jesus today? Is because many times Christians are not making much about him. There's not many people out extending and saying and making people interested and thirsty. Zacchaeus had an intellectual interest. He wanted the truth about who Jesus was. Perhaps he heard about him from one of the chosen disciples. Maybe he had even thought about, hey, I heard Matthew, who used to be a publican, or Levi, who used to be that publican that was there, and how Jesus accepted him and he was part of that inner group. Maybe that was one of the ways. Maybe through that testimony, we don't really know, but we do know that he was someone that was interested in learning more and more about Jesus. We need to present God. We need to present Christ in a way that is encouraging others to seek after him. So often, what do? We present a negative side. And so often we present all the flaws that we might see and all the little things that kind of cause us to be a little discouraged. And instead of speaking great about our Lord, maybe we don't speak as great about our church or about individuals and people. And there's people that are seeking the Lord. There's people that are searching the Lord, people that are serving the Lord. And we need to make sure that people, we make an emphasis and lift up Jesus. As we lift him up, then God will draw people unto himself. So his thought here is that he is here. He wants to learn about Jesus. He's interested because he heard it from somebody else, a curious seeker. Look what it says in verse number 4. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Even though he was too short to be able to see, it didn't stop him. He was excited. He wanted to know what was going on with this man, Jesus. I can imagine Zacchaeus being this one of the leaders of the publicans and being very rich. He's probably very wealthy also. And he's probably got these really nice robes on. He's there. And he takes off. He wants to get up in front of the crowd. And he climbs up in a tree. Second thing I want you to see here is a compassionate Savior. A compassionate Savior. Look what it says in verse number 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He looked at him. He looked at him unselfishly. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus saw the person that probably most people would not even think about. At this time, Jesus' mind probably was on Calvary. He's not that far away from the cross. You think about it, as he's going to Jericho and as he's going through Jerusalem, one of the things that surprises me and encourages me the most as he's taking this trek, and you see this especially in John 14, 15, 16, 17, how he's dealing with his disciples, how he's praying for his disciples. He's getting ready to face the toughest day that any man has ever faced, ever. And who is he caring about? He's caring about his disciples. He's telling them, let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He talks about peace. Most of us would be so worried and anxious, I need a couple of days. I need a couple of days of rest. Before I'm getting ready to take this big initiative on, before I'm willing to go do this great mission, I need this. Not Jesus. He's there and he's walking through, and he looks up and he sees a short man up in a tree, and he could have just kept on walking. I got a lot to do. Maybe after I have risen from the dead, someone will tell Zacchaeus about Jesus, tell Zacchaeus about me. No, he's unselfish with this. And he goes and he looks at it and he sees him and he loves him. He knows his faults. He knows his faults. He knows who Zacchaeus is. He knows Zacchaeus was evil, and he knew that Zacchaeus was a thief, and he knew Zacchaeus was a traitor, and he knows what everyone else is going to think when he talks to him and says, hey, I need to go to your house. That's what he says here in verse number 6. And he said, verse number 5, he says, for today I must abide, we see that word again, at thy house. He says, I want to spend some time with you. I want to stay with you. I want to relax in the setting and have a conversation with you. I want to connect with you. I want to have an encounter with you. There's some things I want you to see and do. So he knows him unselfishly. He loves him personally. He loves him personally. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that God wants to spend time with you. God wants it to be a personal relationship. God, number one, it begins with salvation, but then he wants that relationship to grow and continue on growing and continue on growing, so your love would continue to grow, so you would begin to see like Christ, so you begin to act like Christ, so you begin to have the mind of Christ, so you would have the fruits of the Spirit. We must have these encounters with Jesus. We must have them daily. We must spend time with him. We must walk with him. We must learn to abide in him, and he abides in us. And as that, then we can bring forth fruit. But so often we have people that are desiring to call themselves Christians. And yes, they may be Christians, but they have no desire to strengthen their walk with the Lord. And I see this, and I see that he loves Zacchaeus, and it reminds me of when he looked and he loved me, and when he drew me to himself as a nine-year-old boy that was smart aleck, a nine-year-old boy that was full of pride, and a nine-year-old boy that thought he had everything all figured out, and how God spoke to my heart and showed me that I was a sinner and that he loved me. And moment after moment, day after day, he is willing to meet with me, and he's willing to spend time with me, and he's willing to develop this relationship and get closer and closer and closer. But oftentimes I've missed out. And I want to encourage you this week, have your own personal time with the Lord. He desires you to. And see, he loves this man. He said, well, he must not care about me. He does care about you. If he can care about this man, Zacchaeus, who has been considered a traitor, who would be considered somebody who was a thief, who would be considered someone that would be a hard case. But what does he do? He loves him unconditionally. Jesus showed the unconditional love to every person he met. Zacchaeus was no exception. And the next service, we're going to look at Nicodemus just for a second. The righteous man, in his own mind, that self-righteous man to the woman at the well. It's not the same story, but I think they're connected on purpose. And what connects the two of them? It connects for God so loved the world. He loved the self-righteous, and he loved the lady who knew that she was a sinner and that the whole town knew that she was a sinner. But both needed Jesus. Both had that personal encounter with him. And see here in this story, he loves him unconditionally. He didn't care that other people were going to murmur. And look what it says in verse number 7. It says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a sinner, with a man that is a sinner. And that might be my favorite part of the whole story. He was going to go spend time and abide with someone that was a sinner. And we should say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, because I'm a sinner. And I needed a Savior, and Christ saved me from my sins, and he's still, each and every day, willing to meet with me. He loves him unconditionally. You say, where does that get in your walk with the Lord? Sometimes people are not going to understand. Sometimes people are going to look at you. Sometimes people are going to laugh. Sometimes people are going to say, you're way off. Sometimes people are going to say, you have no clue what's going on. Sometimes, you know, God's not speaking to you. And you'll get questions from people that usually have not spent much time alone with God. And because of the fact they haven't let their own relationship develop, because they have not worshiped him yourself, they'll turn around and be critical of everything they see. Now, that on the surface, like these, on the surface, they're there and they're murmuring and they're complaining. Just like we've seen the religious leaders in the past, they had the zeal for God, but they did not know God. And they did these things based off of just their own impression and their own self-righteousness. And they never truly met with him. They never truly worshiped him. We're going to look at that in John chapter 4 about worshiping him in spirit and truth. They didn't worship what they didn't even know what they were worshiping. And I see this, and I see this compassionate, this compassionate Savior. As is written, there's none that's righteous, no, not one. So we should all say that I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I need everything he has for me. The last thing I want you to see is a converted soul. I love this part too. You see the change that happened in his life. You see, it was a repented heart was revealed. He's there and he's been called out by the Lord. He has been asked and says, I'm going to go to your house today. I need to abide at your house today. And even though he would have faced criticism, even though anybody probably in that crowd would have said, Jesus, I would love for you to come with me. I'd love for you to come to my house, come to abide at my house. He sees this man. He sees his heart. He sees his curiosity. He sees what he's looking at and why he's there. And he loves him unconditionally. What does he do? He makes a difference in his life. Now, in my mind, when I read the story, I see that Zacchaeus here, that at verse number 7, that they went to... Verse number 6 or 7, they went to the house. They abided together. The Lord showed him his needs. The Lord showed him that he was a sinner and where he was failing. And in verse number 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, he gets his heart right. Look, this is a repentant heart that was revealed. It gets his heart right. Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus professes Christ as Lord. First, look what it says in verse number 8, the first part. He says, and said unto him, Lord. He says that he's Lord. He believes that he's Lord. He wants to make amends to his countrymen for cheating them out of their money. Zacchaeus was working for Rome. The only person that he would have been able to call Lord would have been Caesar. That's the only person he would ever look to as Lord. But we see the evidence of repentance when he says he is Lord of his life. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Zacchaeus offers financial restitution. This is the change that happens in a person's life. This is where we see what happens when God makes a difference in a life. There's a change. There is a change that should happen. The Bible says we become a new creature. He becomes, instead of being green, instead he becomes generous instead of being greedy. He talks about giving half his possessions to the poor. His honesty replaced the slanders. He replaces the lies. You see a change in this man's life. But I want you to see what it says in verse number 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is in the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So we see he has received the Lord. Salvation's come. When it says it's of the Jews, we understand that. We're talking about the testament that was there. It was promised to Abraham. The blessing of Abraham might come on to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ paid with his blood. I really enjoy verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Many times people think Jesus came for this reason, make my life easier. Jesus came so that way I wouldn't face problems and troubles. He never says that. Instead, he says he came to cause a division, because if you're going to believe in Jesus, you're going to be divided against those who do not believe in God. There's going to be a difference in you. And when you tell somebody they're a sinner, they don't want to believe it. You know what's going to happen? They're going to also feel like, I don't have anything to do with that person. As you separate to God, you know what happens? You separate from the world. It's not the idea. I know many times people put, you need to separate from this and separate from that and separate from this, separate. But I truly believe if our desire is to separate from God, separate to God, all those other things will be going away as the Lord speaks to our heart, as you strengthen your relationship. Here's one of the things that I think that people forget, and that's why I think that many times people's encounters, or they don't spend enough time alone with the Lord, is because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. They thought he was coming to become king. If you look in verse number 11, it says, and they heard these things. He added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They think he's getting ready to take over. He's going to get ready and knock out Rome and become king and Lord and master. And then everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be right. And he's like, no. You missed the whole purpose why I'm here. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we would spend time daily having personal encounters with the Lord, by daily spending time with him and talking with him and opening up his word and by praying, you know what we're going to have an interest in? The same things he's interested in. And if we don't have a desire to see lost people saved, and we don't have a desire to see Christians and people become Christians, and for others to understand the truth and the desire to want to reach out to others and have conversations with others, that's all Jesus was doing. He was having an encounter. He was having a conversation. He says, look, I'm going to your house. I'm going to abide with you. I have a desire. There's something I want to tell you. And we need to do that. We need to do that out in the open. We need to do that with other people. I know preaching is great. People bring people to church, all those different things. It's wonderful, fantastic. But one-on-one, telling people about Jesus, how does Zacchaeus hear about Jesus? I don't know. Maybe it was written in the papers. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it was all the different testimonies. And we know the story I like to tell, that some of the people that Zacchaeus went to collect taxes from were people that were changed and they just gave the testimony. But more than likely, it was personal word, mouth by mouth, telling people about Jesus. And that made them interested. That made him interested. And they wanted to be exactly where Jesus was. And I really think that the struggle is that we don't spend enough time with him. So we see the change, how it went from the repentance heart was revealed. We see that Christ's desire. You know, sometimes we forget what the church is all about. Just like they missed this here. In verse number 10, they missed that Jesus had come something spiritual, and he was teaching them that. Oftentimes, we miss why we are here at the church. Many times people think it's just about relationships. It's just about friendships. It's just about fellowship. But he sent the church out to reach out to the whole world. Now, relationships are great. Strengthening the brother, that's good. Encouraging one another, we're supposed to do that. Edifying one another, we're supposed to do that. Nowhere does it say we're supposed to tear each other down. We're supposed to be a help there, one another. It's a fantastic Bible study. We looked at some of those passages in the past. But we're also, as a church, we're supposed to be going out into all the world. And as my prayers for our church, that we would be a lighthouse, that we would, each of us would have a desire to go out into all the world and to seek out those that are lost and to tell them about the one who can save them. And that's the only way that's going to happen. And the only way we're going to have that burden, the only way we're going to have that desire is when we spend time with him, is when we get to know him. And I love this story, because in this story, you see a man that, he was an Israelite, but they wouldn't have liked him. It's called a publican because he was working for Rome. He was a traitor. Not only that, he was rich, so he was looked down upon a little bit probably for that. He had power. He had prestige. In some of his circles, he was probably looked upon. But to the rest of the Israelites, they looked down upon him. And they, as you can see in verse number 7, they're murmuring, I can't believe that Jesus would go here and do this. And so often we miss it, because so many times we look at it and say, I can't believe that person's talking to that person. I can't believe that that person's reaching out to that person. I can't believe that they're trying to get that group of people to come to their church, or the people that look like that, or the people that act like that, or people from that social. We miss the whole purpose of it. It's not just being part of a little club. It's reaching out to the world and letting God change the hearts of mankind, encouraging others to want to know him. So this morning, a lot of different thoughts that come along with these encounters with Jesus. We see the people he reached out to. We see all the different characters. We're going to see in the next service, we're going to see the Nicodemus versus the woman at the well. He desires that people would be saved, whether it is a publican, a Pharisee, or a woman that's in adultery. All those things he desires. And he said, of course he does. He wants it, but he desires to meet with us each and every day. He desires for us to walk with him. He desires that we would abide with him. And that's where we're going to get a heart's desire to want to win the lost. You say, Pastor, I hear what you say. I see what the Bible says. I don't have those desires. Pastor, my heart desire isn't really to see people saved. Ask God to change it. Remember what we talked about a few weeks ago about prayer? He will give you everything he desires for you. He wants you to enter into everything that he has planned for you. One of the reasons why we don't get our prayers answered is because we're praying the wrong thing. We ask and miss, or we just don't ask. But put it on your prayer list towards the top and just say, Lord, I want to see people as you see them. I want to help people to have this type of encounter with you. I want people to understand they're lost and in need of a Savior. Will you please speak to my heart? And then be open. You can't just ask for something and then hypocritically not let the Lord speak to your hearts. Have a clean heart. Be ready to serve. Be ready to hear. But there's been people that I've seen had a passion for the Lord, had a passion for souls, and it gets kind of wanes. Why does it wane? Because it's hard. The devil's going to fight you tooth and nail. Our Bible word today was the word fight with the children in children's church. And we talked about the word fight. And part of the reason why is because those that come on the vans or bus sometimes are known for talking about being in fights and different things like that. And we talked about contending. And we talked about how Paul said he had fought a good fight. And he told Timothy, fight a good fight. It is a contending. It is a battle. It's a wrestling match. And we need to fight against the devil. We need to fight against the flesh. And we need to be on target, on purpose, striving together to fight against this world. So often we just lay silently, we just kind of lay flat, and the world seems like it's winning. We need to fight. And one of the things we need to fight for is the things that God loves. And the reason why he came, to seek and to save that which lost. And if we lost our burden to get people to have this type of encounter, we need to change. We need to be pushing forward. And this is what I'm interested in, is pushing forward to see people saved. And to work with people and ask God to give you that. He said, Pastor, I don't feel comfortable talking to others. Lots of people don't. But guess what? It's what he's called us to do. So let us give this heart desire that we would see things as God sees. And as we saw the change he made in Zacchaeus, as we saw the change that he made in Nicodemus, as we saw the change he made in the woman at the well, let us daily get before God and say, God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know there's things I need to change in my life. And God, would you help me change those things? Show me those things I'm lacking in. Search me, O Lord, to see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me. Make me more like you today. And as we meet with them day by day, little by little, glory by glory, we become more like him. Personal encounters with the Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving Zacchaeus. Thank you for loving me. Lord, thank you for having a love for each and every person. Lord, I pray that we desire to have more encounters or daily meetings with you. And Lord, that even today, while preaching is happening and singing is happening, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. That we would leave this place saying, I want to be more like Christ. I want to walk with him. I want to become more like him each and every day. That, Lord, we would just be desiring these encounters. Lord, I remember some of the times when you spoke into my heart. Remember the night I was saved. It was a Saturday night back in April. April 8th, back in many, many years ago, I think it was 1983. Lord, I remember the time you called me to preach more than once. I remember specifically when you spoke in my heart about different things. God, I pray that we would all desire to hear from you. That we would be in your word, seeking your face, interested. And what you have for us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.